Janu Moons. I am Josie, the Afro-Latina, Regina George of Witchery, and you are tuned in to the frequency of the Lua Nova podcast. And today's episode is another requested one. I know that in season one, before anybody starts and mentions this to me, I know I already went over both of these topics in season one, but I wanted to have a reference episode that is easy to find. It's even going to be in the title where I mentioned that it is a reference episode. This is for the people who are new to my podcast, who are new to working in the spiritual realm, and of course for my baby witches who, of course, you want to learn from other witches, and I love that. And I hope that you enjoy today's episode and today's lesson. So all of my baby witches and everybody that all of the babies that are new to the spiritual community, I need you to come sit in the front of the class. Instead of Lua updates, I'm just going to call this the Obrigada section because I owe a very special muito obrigada to both Peso Pluma fans and Santa Muerte devotees. There was one naysayer who not only seemed to have an issue with my Mexicanness. Oh, like I care. I don't. You're never going to take away my Mexicanness, honey. And this same person had an issue with me speaking positively about La Santísima. Because of course, some people refuse to educate themselves and do their own research and assume that anything that they assume is evil is based on what other people have told them and not actually educating themselves whatsoever. La Santísima represents the spirit of death. And if you think that death is evil, then I feel really sorry for you because it's inevitable for all of us. And this saint of death is meant to guide us here. Now, if you want to base her energy on a bunch of assumptions that you have because of narco culture, then honey, that level of uneducated and stupid is not something I can help you with. I am not a narco. I definitely don't judge people based on their backgrounds. I've known many people that have had some very tough lives just like I have, and they are some of the best people. And they have asked me many questions. In fact, the people who I know who have had a really tough life, none of them are Santa Muerte devotees, not one. But they've asked me many questions about her because many of them have, you know, obviously seen her represented in their own, you know, lifestyle and the people that they hang around, etc. And as well as San Judas, which translates to Saint Jude, and other nautical related deities. And if you choose to see only one side of something, then that's your problem. I don't care. And as far as my Mexicanness, I did see firsthand with my own eyes Mexican women, not men, attacking Anita, who is a Brazilian artist, a well-known Brazilian artist. And as I said before, if you don't know who she is, that's your problem. I don't know what to tell you. I guess your Spotify doesn't work, but I made it very clear that I've said this on more than one episode, that it's disgusting to me when people within the Latin community try to divide the Latin community. This same person seemed to be very bothered by the fact that I educate people on Afro-Latino culture. If you don't want to be educated, I don't know what to tell you. I found this person laughable, by the way. You can't try to drag me whatsoever. I'm a witch. Are you serious? You know, a real one. You all didn't know that those really existed, huh? I guess not. Long before I was ever even thought of, okay? When I was just maybe an imagination in my great-grandmother's. I like to believe that maybe she thought of me before I ever came along, but... And that's why I have the abilities that she has. I don't know. But, you know, I respect my indigenous ancestors wholeheartedly, so who knows? And with that level of respect, I want to say much respect to real Santa Muerte devotees who understood that, you know, there's quite a few weirdos and quite a few fakes within all communities. And people who use any sort of a deity to disrespect other people, to disrespect that deity, and to scam people, you need to be called out. And I'm always going to call you out. I don't hide behind my iPhone. I don't hide whatsoever. So if you want to keep hiding, go for it. Because that's exactly what this person did. They hid. And they thought that they were going to cause what? My podcast to not be as big as it is, or to not grow the way it's growing. And speaking of, I really think that what people need to understand about witches is that we know how to transmute negative energy. So you trying to spew negativity toward me only backfired on you, because I am heavily protected, not only by La Santa Muerte, but also by all of my spirit guides, including my ancestors, and they don't play when it comes to me, okay? And because of that, that is why I am saying a very heartfelt thank you to Santa Muerte devotees, as well as Peso Pluma fans, because out of nowhere, and I do mean out of nowhere, like, I have no idea, within the last 24 hours, I received so much positive feedback for my show, and gained, I think there was about 25 new listeners just based on those two episodes. So that may not seem like a lot, because this is a small podcast still, but to me that's a big deal, considering that it happened because of those episodes. And I received feedback saying, you know, I like that they liked it, that they didn't know that I did that, that they had never come across a podcast that focuses on Latin artists, or that, you know, thank you for calling out these fake devotees, or thank you for teaching me that I don't have to actually give any deity anything, that I can just spend time with them. Thank you for teaching me these things. And of course, I do address that in this episode, but I want to say thank you to you. You know, if you're bothered by the fact that I talk too much, it's a podcast. I don't know what to tell you. Go listen to somebody else. I don't care. I couldn't care less about who doesn't like me, who doesn't like my podcast. I don't care if you don't like that I educate people in the Afro-Latino community. We're here. We're not going anywhere. And as I've said 10 million times, Afro-Latinos are a massive part of the Latin community that oftentimes gets overlooked, and I refuse to allow that to continue, okay? I will continue to break barriers. I will continue to break stereotypes of what it even means to be a witch. And I don't care who that bothers. If this show isn't for you, I don't care. You can exit. You're not ever going to bring this show down, though. Because as you can see, because you can feel free to look that up yourself, feel free to look at the numbers yourself, all it did, your negative energy, all it did was the opposite. It made people want to tune in more. It made people say, you know what, I actually do, I like this girl. I have her back. I want to hear more of what she has to say. And I thank you to all of my new listeners, because there's quite a few of you. In fact, it's growing as I'm talking. And I didn't see that coming. And I've said many times that this podcast is one part of the Lua Nova brand. There are many ideas that I have, and I plan to make this podcast as big as possible. I joke many times about Walter Mercado being like my tío or chio in Portuguese, but that means uncle for those of you who don't. Sometimes I forget I need to translate things. By the way, if you're not familiar, the word chisme means gossip in Spanish. I've always said it in Spanish and not Portuguese, because it's just instinct. My mother speaks Spanish, so that is what I hear. So, and that's what I've heard my whole life, is chisme, okay? Because that's what my family speaks, Spanish. But thank you all. I cannot say thank you enough. And I say it at the end of every podcast. I say, always take a moment to say muito obrigada to yourself. But I want to say it again. And I want to say thank you to this person who thought that their negative opinion and ignorance was going to change a thing. You'll never take away my Mexicanness, honey. My mother's Mexican. I came out of her. Are you serious? My entire Mexican family is who raised me. My immigrant, indigenous, Mexican, witch of a grandmother. She was a witch. I've said that 10 million times, but I know your dumbass didn't even go back and listen to any of that. She is why I'm here.
And I am grateful to her, my ancestors, my indigenous ancestors, my African ancestors, all of you, because they are why this podcast exists. I will never be quiet. I will never edit the way that I talk. I sound very American because I'm from Texas. Because you can have a parent that's from another country and still sound like I do. Fun fact, I also happen to be from the hood. I represent Dallas, Texas. I am from Dallas, Texas, but I am from the worst part. Some people would argue that there are other parts of Dallas that are worse, but I am from the worst part, and it is called Oak Cliff. And the part that I grew up in, Oak Cliff, is considered Little Mexico. Okay, now there may be areas where you are at that are also called Little Mexico, which means it had a massive Mexican population. And yet I still sound like this. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not ashamed of my background. And if you're insecure, and which you clearly are, you have an issue with what I look like, because I started actually mentioning my I started putting my TikTok username in the show notes, I would be intimidated by me too. Because again, I'm the Afro-Latina Regina George, so I am the villain in somebody's story, and I don't care. I don't care. I will always be the villain in somebody's story, and I own that, okay? If you don't have this level of confidence, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you can learn from me. Maybe you can learn from other confident people. I hope so. But, I mean, that's sad for you. I don't know if I mentioned it in this podcast or if it got cut out. I hope I did, but if I didn't, I also want to say that with all that's going on, there will be a Novo Sol, which translates to new sun, which is when I talk about what's going on in pop culture, but the spiritual aspect of it. There will be its own episode, I believe. That's going to be the next episode. I think so. The Lua report for Anita will be coming up as well, because I definitely want to cover her. She is my favorite Brazilian artist, if I didn't say that before. She is how I was actually introduced to Brazilian music. So thank you, of course, to the people who have introduced me to her music and others. Because like I've said 10 billion times, and I don't care if I repeat myself, oh well. Go listen to somebody else if you don't like it. The Brazilian community has never made me feel like I'm not a part of it, just because my first language is English and second language is Portuguese. Okay. Thank you. Thank you to the Mexican community. And that means people from Mexico and people who are here in the United States who embrace their Mexican culture. Thank you for having my back and understanding that we come in all backgrounds. We look all different ways. We speak more than just Spanish. And that we 100% represent ourselves. Anytime you see me, do not be surprised if you see me covered in Brazilian flags. That is on purpose. Why? Because it represents my Afro-Latina heritage, okay? Not to say the Mexican flag doesn't. A Brazilian flag is just Brazil's known for their Afro-Latino community, correct? So that is why I do that. If you want to see me, send me Mexican flags, email the show. I would love that. But let's get to the rest of the show. There's quite a bit to cover.
So something that I completely forgot to mention when I was recording this episode is whenever you're ending a petition, it is important, and I hope that you all know by now to always write in the present tense. It's important to always say thank you to any spirit guides, etc., that you may be working with. You're thanking them. If you're putting this on the altar, you're thanking them on while you're at your altar. You can thank them in the petition, of course, and you can end it, because you can say this during your spell if you're doing an actual spell with this, or if it's, because yes, you can write a petition and it's not something you're putting with the spell. It could just be just a petition, and that is perfectly fine too. But if this is going with the spell, then when you end your spell, you are going to say, and so it is, you're going to end your spell by saying, and so it is, ase, or e asim e, which is, and so it is in Portuguese, whatever language you speak. But either way, you will hear many different versions of, and so it is. that is how I end mine. I'm just giving you that example. But yes, you do want to end it and close it out pretty much. And as far as protection work, that's a given. You should always be having your Florida water or your incense, you know, whatever you're using, your crystals. to protect your energy anytime that you are working with spirit guides, etc., doing spell work, all of the above. You can use table salt if that's all you have, okay? And whenever you see people do what's called a circle around themselves, a circle of protection, that is what that refers to, okay? And yeah, you can do this anywhere. I've used table salt even at restaurants when the energy was off, okay? Always have that table salt ready if you have nothing else with you, okay? So those are just some quick things that I completely forgot to mention. And also, cleaning your altar is essential. Gotta clean it. I'm talking to myself here. It's not that you don't care or anything like that. It's just that, you know, we do get busy and, you know, sometimes we forget to remove that old offering, things like that. All right. So, and remember with offerings that your time is also an offering. That's something I completely forgot to mention, is that spending time with your spirit guides, ancestors, etc., is important. Talk to them. That is what I mean by spending time with them. You don't have to physically give them anything. Giving them your time and your love is just as important. Okay. So I'm going to do this in two parts. The first part is going to be writing a petition. The second part is going to be starting your altar. Okay. Now, again, these are things that I have discussed in season one. And the reason why I've decided to go over them again is that they were not their own episode. So I want you all to have this as a reference. The whole point of being literally a certified spiritual practitioner is that I need to make sure that you have all the tools available for free. That is what this podcast is for. And the parts where I actually charge people for, that has nothing to do with the Lua Nova podcast. This is the free part. So with that being said, here's some tools that you're definitely going to need. Paper. Okay. Now I normally, whenever I've taught you spells, etc., I always say, here's your supply sheet. And you can consider that this portion, okay? Paper. Now, let's pause. And I don't care if you're getting annoyed here, like, just get to it. No, I'm never going to just get to it, because I need to make sure you have everything that you need in order before we move forward. When it comes to paper, you are going to hear so many so-called witches tell you that you have to use partition paper or a grocery bag, you know, the paper grocery bags. That is not true. You can use notebook paper. You can use a receipt. You can use any sort of a paper towel, a napkin, whatever. If you can write on it and you have the correct energy, the right frequency, and the right, and you're in the right setting, etc., it's going to work. I speak from experience, because one of the easiest spells in the world is to quite literally write on toilet paper, which would also be a petition. So do not let so-called witches that learned everything from, I don't know, a TikTok video tell you anything about how you have to use certain types of paper. And that's what, you know, every witch they've ever known has used. That's great. But I'm telling you otherwise, okay? It is up to you to decide what you want to do. But I'm telling you, as somebody who's done obviously quite a few spells in my lifetime, I don't even really do too many now, that it has never mattered that I use notebook paper. I use notebook paper personally because it's easy to get to. If you want to add a little razzle dazzle and you want to use color magic, then you can use colored notebook paper. That's something you can find at actual office supply stores. And they're great for instance, if you're wanting to do money magic, if you're working with deities that are associated with certain colors, etc. Okay, for instance, if you're working with St. Jude or San Judas, then if you want to use green paper, you can absolutely use that. And yes, that exists. Most of the time, the color paper, the lined color notebook paper is in neon colors, but that's just to kind of give you an idea. The same can be said for the next item that you're going to need, which is something to write with. Many people will tell you to never write a petition in pencil. I'm not going to say that you can't. It's not really the best idea, but the reason I say that is that when you think about pencil, you can erase it. So it's almost like you're putting this temporary frequency out when whatever it is you're trying to manifest is likely not temporary. So I don't recommend pencil unless you just have nothing else. You can, but I'm never going to tell you it's not going to work, because again, it has nothing to do with the tools themselves. They are literally just that, just tools. When it comes to the color of pens, this is another area where so-called witches get very caught up on. They will tell you, you have to use blue for this. You have to use green for money, red for love. Bullshit. That is not true. Okay. I am a love witch. So although I don't do love spells on people, long ago when I was single and I did a come to me spell, I used regular black ink because that's what I had available. And do you think that it didn't work? It worked. It worked a little too well, actually, but I'll talk about that in another episode. But and a come to me spell is exactly what it sounds like. It could be based on the specific person, or you're drawing in the certain energies, which is what I was doing. Okay. But that black ink pen, which I believe it was a Hello Kitty pen, it worked just fine. It did not stop anything. And a lot of people, you're gonna have a black pen on hand, and that's perfectly fine. The point is that you are writing it in your own handwriting, and you are having to take the time to think about what you want to put on this petition. And that is really the point there. It has nothing to do with the pen ink itself. If you want to use certain colors that you associate with whatever it is that you're trying to draw in or get rid of, then you can absolutely do that. And then that's fine too. Okay. But please don't think that it won't work because you didn't use green ink for money. That is not true. Okay. The next item that you're going to need, and this is going to go into the second part of this for your altar, is an area to start your altar on. Okay, so again, I think I've already gone over this in season one. I don't remember what episode that is, but so if I've already said all of this and you're like, what is the point of this episode? Please keep in mind that this is the reference episode. You're going to need something to start your altar on. So a bookshelf, a nightstand, a table. If this is a traveling altar, because you can take your altars with you, then it's going to be something that you can still decorate, but that you can carry along with you. I used the example of an Altoid tin before. I mentioned that on a recent episode. You can that is one that I've seen often. If you want to see what that looks like, you can go on Pinterest actually to see people who have created these for other people. I don't know if they sell them or what, but I've seen them here and there. Well, I mainly use Pinterest for nail art ideas because, you know, I do my own acrylic nails. I oftentimes do come across things that are witchy and I do save them, but I have definitely seen some pretty awesome Altoid tins that were made into traveling altars. And if you want to see more of what traveling altars look like, that is again something you can look up on Pinterest by just typing in traveling altars. And no, Pinterest is not paying me to say that. It's just an app that definitely has been helpful for me when it comes to looking up nail art, but I also believe it would be pretty helpful for newbie witches who maybe need visuals, and this is not a visual podcast. But for your altar, you're also going to need to incorporate the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Okay, so those interpretations are up to you. What I would recommend is just going to be just that. And I'll get to that when I get to part two. But just keep that part in mind. You're going to need somewhere to do this. And somewhere to put this altar. Or this traveling altar. And the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Okay. And that's up to you to determine what that looks like. Okay. So to write a petition, it seems pretty easy. If you want to get more in depth and use spell oils, you can go to your local botanica, or if you are in an area like Texas, or you know, areas like that that have several Mexican grocery stores, that you can typically find spell oils there as well. You can order them online. There's botanicas online. There was one that I actually ordered from years ago. I wish I could remember the name of it because they were awesome and they were quick. But I don't use a ton of spell oils. Mine are actually several years old, and you can also make your own oils. Now, I will get to what you would use them for in a second. So, what is it that you're wanting to draw in or remove from your life? That's what you got to start with, is what is this petition based on? Okay? If you are, and I'm going to give you strictly examples. If you're going to draw in money, for example, and you're writing a petition about money, are you working with a deity? Okay, are you working with a deity? Are you working with certain spirit guides? Are you working with a particular archangel? Are you working with a particular demon? Because yes, if you're into darker work, people do work with darker entities. That is not something I teach. I also don't bash it though. That's none of my business, but that is up to you. Do you want to just talk to the divine? The divine is God. I say this a lot. Because you would never be surprised, of how many dumbass people assume that because you are a witch, that you don't know the first thing about God, when typically we know more about different faiths than the average person, because we work with so many different energies. And because of how we work with those energies, including the biggest one, the energy of Earth, we tend to see life from the perspective of, we see God in everything. And so that is why I very often have to remind the dumbasses who, for whatever reason, are obsessed with witches that, yeah, we are very aware of God, way, way more than they are. So with that being said, if you're writing a petition to the divine, you can absolutely do that. A lot of people would just consider that a prayer. This is essentially a prayer on paper. Okay. This is essentially a meditation on paper. Whenever you're writing affirmations, that is very similar to writing out a petition. Okay, so whatever it is that you're wanting to draw in, if you're working with a deity, first, I want you to already have an established relationship with that deity. That even includes God. If you are constantly begging and asking for things, but you never are taking the time to talk to your deities, you never leave anything nice for them. Again, I'm never going to tell you, you have to leave them money. You have to leave them specific things, nothing like that. It is your relationship with your spirit guides, your deities, your ancestors is yours. However, to constantly ask for things and to give nothing in return is not going to give you the best results. And also is going to make your spirit guides, etc., feel as though they shouldn't even bother. Because you're not a very giving person. You're very selfish and you're only thinking of you. They're not exactly asking for things, because these are other worldly spirits, etc., that are in completely other realms. They're not using your human offerings necessarily, but it is basically the thought that counts. That is literally the point of it. It is all about putting your heart and soul into what you are giving those ancestors, archangels, etc. It has nothing to do with the item itself, unless you yourself feel like this is something that you think that they would love. But again, that is all about how much heart you're putting into it. So let's make sure that we're already doing that and we're already showing that gratitude to whatever spirits that we're working with first before we start asking them for things. So if you are writing this to a particular spirit, then you're going to address it the same way you would if you were writing a letter to a friend, okay? I always say to write in that letter the way you would write to anybody else. You're not going to write an old English. You're not going to suddenly change up how you talk. You're going to be yourself, okay? And if you work with certain phases, such as Mercury retrograde, such as phases of the moon, such as the eclipse energy, anything like that, your birthday, certain dates that are important, you know, if you're working with an angel number and you want to do this on a specific date, you know, that's absolutely fine. Okay, so, but please keep all of that in mind before you start writing a petition. Okay, all of this needs to be in mind before you start writing. Okay, so now you know what you want. You've given your offering. You bought some candy for your favorite deity or your angel that you're working with, and you're ready. You're gonna write it. And again, the way you're writing a friend. And when you go to finish this,
This is where those spell oils come in handy. If you want to use them, you don't have to. Many times you are going to be told to put dots. Yes, put a dot of spell oil in certain patterns on this paper. I never, ever, ever tell people how to do that because I want you to figure out where are you putting that spell oil. How many dots are you going to use? Are you going to use dots at all? Are you not going to use spell oil whatsoever? You don't have to, by the way. It is just an option. So let's say that you're like, I'm going to put a dot at the top, a dot at the bottom, and one in the middle, okay? Just three dots of oil, okay? And that's fine because that's what you were drawn to do. If you're like, I don't want to put any oil because it's messy, that's fine too. It's not going to make it not work because you didn't put any oil. So what you're going to do when you go to fold this petition is that if you are folding it because you want to draw in, for instance, money, love, luck, whatever, you're folding that paper towards you. Towards you. Okay, so you're going to fold it towards you. And you're going to keep folding it towards you. So that means like, okay, Josie, this is a piece of notebook paper. I folded it in half towards me. Now what? That means you're going to turn it counterclockwise and then keep folding it again towards you until it's just a little square. And once it is that, you are either going to place it on your altar. You can carry it around with you. You can put it under your pillow. For instance, if you are manifesting love, that's always a great option for seeing the person you're supposed to be with or seeing certain solutions that you might need is to put it under your pillow. Okay. If you're like, well, what do I do whenever I go to make the bed? Leave it, put it to the side when you're making the bed and then put it back under your pillows. Okay. But that is an example of how to write a petition. All right. So let's very quickly get to how to start your altar. So you want to start an altar. Okay, so you have chosen what you want to use. Now do not send me messages talking about, Josie, I don't know what to use. What are you drawn to use? Do you want to use a bookshelf? It doesn't even have to be the entire bookshelf. Do you only have space on your nightstand? Do you have a small table that you're not even using? It is up to you where you are drawn to start this altar. I have two altars. I used to have several, but I have condensed them down to two. And so I'm going to use my altars as an example for you. I'm not going to show them to you. And if you ever wonder why people don't show their altars, it is because they are sacred and we are protecting the energy of those altars. We're also protecting those particular spirit guides. We're protecting them from the weirdos of the world who want to send you Bible quotes and don't even actually know the Bible, shit like that. Okay. So that is often why you will see people not show their altar. But for the people who do, I do not think that that makes it wrong. Just because it's not something that I do personally. As somebody who has an extremely strong connection with Santa Muerte, as you know, there's now been two episodes where I've mentioned her. I see her altars all the time on TikTok. I'm not bothered by it, and I oftentimes will leave people alike because I want them to feel encouraged, and I understand that the journey that we have with Santissima can be one that people just don't understand because they refused to educate themselves and they enjoy being stupid. So to have the courage to even talk about your connection with any of your spirit guides, that alone deserves a like for me. But I'm going to just use this as an example, but please don't ask to see my altars. That is just not going to happen. But I have two altars. One is a small bookshelf. And the other is La Santa Muerte's altar all by herself. That is because the connection I have with her is extremely strong. And it's not uncommon to have one altar for one particular deity that you have a very strong connection with. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to go and buy all this shit because you connected with a particular spirit. But, you know, if you want to, you can. Just keep in mind that it's not necessary. And so to give you an example of that, and I'm not going to get too into who's on my main altar,
there is a very specific reason. Again, it is a lot based on ignorance. Within my home, you're always going to find guardian angels. They're little tiny porcelain angels, and they are associated to me with my spirit guides. It's almost like me knowing that they're there. And also, it lightens the energy of your home to have images of angels. So on one shelf is a deity that I work with, and next to her is a black angel. That is, of course, to represent my Afro-Latino side, my Afro-Latino ancestry. So that is what that angel in particular represents. It's a cute little angel. And I believe she's actually from Dollar Tree. I think I got her around Christmas. I don't really remember. On her is actually a tiny little bracelet, like a Lucky Charm bracelet that I don't wear, but I felt drawn to put that on my altar. And that will happen. You will feel drawn to leave things on your altar that either to make it prettier or just because you feel that deity or that spirit, etc., like that you want to give that to them. Okay. I mentioned that you need to have the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Now, that is because if you're using your altars for spell work, you're typically using earth, air, fire, water, just like you saw in the craft. That part they actually got somewhat correct. But yes, so fire is associated with using candles. Earth can be crystals. You know, I have crystals on my altars, of course. They're also great offerings. Water, I have a small, beautiful bottle of water on my main altar. And that particular beautiful bottle actually is from Dollar Tree, Santa Muerte's altar. She has a very large bottle that has a massive rose quartz on the inside of it because her altar is actually pink. And she's pink. The statue I have of her. I have another one, a little teeny tiny one that's green, but mainly her altar is pink. So that's just to kind of give you an example of earth is also associated with, air can be also associated with candle work. So there you go. Air is oftentimes the one that's a little more difficult to put on your altar. But that is just to give you an example of how to use earth, air, fire, and water. There are many other altars that you can see out there that will give you an example of how they use the elements. But that's just, you know, to give you an example of using the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Anytime I see an altar that doesn't have any water, I'm always a little like, well, I always wonder why that is. Because there may be a good reason. Don't ever assume that if something's missing from somebody's altar, that it's because they don't know what they're doing. It might be for a very good reason. I, for instance, do not leave actual food out. Absolutely not. Now, I will leave packaged food. For instance, candy is a big one that I leave out. But it's always candy that has not been opened and things like that. That way, when I switch it out, it's not a big deal. It's not messy. If I'm going to leave drinks, they're going to be closed drinks, stuff like that. That's a big one that I recommend. If you have a bigger altar, you can leave bigger offerings. For instance, Santissima also is a deity that people will leave alcohol for. If you're working with other sorts of deities, this is why it's important to do your research. You don't leave them certain types of offerings. Not because it's rude, not because you're being disrespectful, but because it doesn't really work with their energy, okay? And it's kind of the same way that if you have an ancestor altar, you learn, well, this ancestor like this ancestor like that, etc. Now, if you're like, Josie, what? You're moving too fast. What is an ancestor altar? An ancestor altar is where an altar that we talk to our lost loved ones on. My grandmother was extremely religious, but I have her picture on a very separate table because she was religious and I didn't feel comfortable putting her on my altars. You know, that's not the energy that she was bringing. I know that she's in another realm and she would have understood, especially considering that her mother was a witch. But, you know, I tried to show that level of respect. Now, if it was my great-grandmother, then she would have her own altar, likely. But she does not, by the way. Not yet.
But and that has a lot to do with the space that you have. You may not have the space for that. Even though I live in a very large home, much larger than the one that I just moved from, there's still not really the space for giant altars. There wouldn't really be anywhere for it to go. So that's perfectly fine. It does not mean that you're not honoring your ancestors or certain deities because you don't have some massive altar and you don't have the space for all of that. You can honor them in other ways. Like I said, the table that my grandmother's picture is on is actually all by itself. It's a beautiful table with like a really cool neon light, and I personally prefer to use the battery operated candles, the ones that come with remotes. Some people will tell you to not use that because it's not real lighting. I don't give a shit. You have to use common sense. Your spirit guides want you to have some common sense. Do not be putting candles everywhere when you know that that's not safe. Okay? Like, it's one thing if you're doing a spell that you're watching, or spells if you're somebody who does several spells at a time. However, if you're just leaving these on, then please don't be surprised if your house burns down. Like, that's insane to me too, that people use no common sense. But I use battery operated candles all the time. They're all over everywhere, but especially my altars. Okay. And they are set to come on whenever, during certain times of the day. Okay. So another example is when you are working with specific deities, if they have statues for them, you can absolutely put them on there. You don't have to have the biggest statues. I personally am not a fan of really massive statues because now it's looking like a church. Now we're getting into some religious territory that does not suit me. But everybody's different. If you want a giant 7-foot statue, go for it. And also, always do your research. Research, research, research. If it is a closed practice, if it is not something that you can be a part of, then you can honor that deity, but that's all that you're doing. You are not treading on that particular religion. You are not going to be doing any of that, because that will bring some negative energy your way, and that will piss off whatever spirit that you are working with, okay? So please keep that in mind too. Please do your research always. Don't just start buying stuff and you don't know what it's for, okay? So that's important to really know, you know, what you're talking about and what you're doing before you start working with certain entities. All right. There are many books and many free resources out there, libraries, etc., where you can learn what you need to learn about certain deities, spirits, etc., before you just start, you know, buying their statue or wearing their jewelry, whatever. And that's another thing, is that you are the altar. Always keep that in mind. You're the altar. You are your ancestors' greatest accomplishment, greatest dream. And I don't want you to put yourself down right now and say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Okay? They worked hard so that you can be where you are right now. If you're not where you want to be, who said that you weren't trying to? You're listening to this podcast. So the fact that people listen to self-help, or they listen to anything that spiritually connects with them, and they still put themselves down, does not make sense, because you are doing the work. You are always going to be the altar. You're literally a traveling altar yourself. And so if you want to adorn yourself with the deity that you work with an angel, you know, want to put like a little angel necklace on, and it represents, I don't know, your grandmother, or it represents one of your guardian angels, that's perfectly fine. If you want to wear crystals, exactly, you know, I have so many crystal bracelets, and I actually never wear them because my bracelets that I do wear, which you can hear, are very special to me. One is an evil eye bracelet that has like little diamonds, and I have two heart bracelets that are both pink and sparkly, and I wear them every day. And then of course I have my Santa Muerte bracelet, and I don't take any of my bracelets off. So the reason I don't wear my crystal ones anymore is that they combined with this just didn't make sense. But that is another example, is that you can wear crystals. Okay. people who are religious oftentimes will wear certain things that are connected to their religion. And this is, it is the same thing when you are connecting with spiritual practices. Another thing that you can do is something you will not see me do in pictures, but you will always see me do this in person. And that is called a witch's veil. And that is when you cover a part of your head to protect your crown chakra. Okay. Your crown chakra. All right. And that is very important to kind of protect your energy from all of the weirdos and negative energy that's out there in the world. Okay. Now in pictures, the reason why you won't see me wearing my witch's veil, which is just a bunch of headbands that I wear that I make sure always cover, you know, the area that would be considered my crown. Okay. But the reason why I don't in pictures is that I make sure to purposely cut that part off so that there can't be negative energy sent to me online. I'm not worried about that anyway, at all. What's the whole point of wearing an evil eye bracelet if you're constantly concerned about somebody's energy, especially people who don't even know you? I don't worry about that. But in the event that I need to, I still always personally cut that part of all of my videos off. And you know, that's up to you if that's something you want to do. But that's just another example of an altar, is adorning yourself as the altar. But that is going to wrap up today's lesson. Let's go ahead and get to the collective reading.
You know the vibes. Let's talk about the pink unicorn in the room, which is the disclaimer. I always try to make it as short as possible, and it always ends up being so long. So we're just going to go with it. The disclaimer of the pink unicorn in the room is this. A collective, keyword being collective. Let's look that word up, people. Means that this reading is for a collective amount of people. It will resonate with some of you. It will not resonate with all of you because it is not meant to. I tap into the energy of my real subscribers, of the people who 100% love and support the Lua Nova brand and the Lua Nova podcast, okay? That's who I do these readings for. This tarot deck is specifically for my podcast, okay? So that literally means it has your energy all over it. Okay, and I only do tarot readings with consent, because anybody reading your energy and reading about your life, so to speak, needs to have your consent to do so. So if I do not have your consent to read your tarot, then please go ahead and fast forward, and I appreciate you. Please don't ever think that I'm offended by that. That's perfectly fine. I no longer do personal readings, but I do plan to do in-person personal readings in the future. So that is something I'll talk about once I get that set up. I don't know, but that is something that I would like to do. Okay, I have many tarot decks and I want to do something with them. What's the point of having so many, right? I do a one card reading during my collective reading. If more than one card pops out, then I will read it. I also do not read reverse cards, meaning cards that are upside down, because I check my deck on a regular and try to avoid that sort of energy, because it is typically not the most positive outcome. That does not mean that all of my readings are going to be positive. If I ever cut out a reading because it was super negative, like, or negative energy, like when I mentioned the one I did for Peso Pluma, it is because that person can't give me consent to talk about what I saw. Okay? They can, but they haven't. So if I see something like that, do not be surprised if you hear the reading cut off, or if you hear me say that I'm going to start the reading over, etc., because whatever I'm picking up on, that person hasn't given me consent to talk about it, okay? But please be careful with who you are trusting, all right? Tarot cards are not evil. They are literally cards. That's it. And they started, tarot reading started off with a regular deck of playing cards. So if you consider a regular deck of playing cards evil, then you might want to go ahead and get those out of your house, because that is the same thing as having a tarot deck. Fun fact.
Yep. Wow. Mind blown. And I don't shuffle any particular amount of times. The reason I'm still talking is because I haven't picked a card yet. I haven't felt drawn to a particular card. And this one is the one that I am pulling. And I love it. I love it because you guys have gotten this card. You've gotten this energy quite a bit in 2024, which tells me many of my love witch energy is working. So I'm going to start off with reading the energy of this one, and that is that May is your month. You've been looking forward to May. Maybe that's when your birthday is. Maybe you have a trip planned. But I immediately see a woman in particular, but I definitely pick up on feminine energy. This is a woman who is very much so bouncing off the walls, excited. And girl, you might just be having some vacation sex. That's what, because the card that I pulled is the Lover's card, okay? And this card in particular, of course, it's all about the combination of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. It can also be taken literally. It could mean a union. It could mean that you're going to meet somebody. And that goes across the board. It doesn't mean, because you might not be heterosexual. So I'm in no way saying that you're going to meet a man. I'm just saying that, you know, you might be having some vacation sex. But I'm definitely picking up on a sexual energy. For somebody. Somebody's about to have a really fun time consensually. And I feel like this isn't somebody who you've known for years. I feel like this is somebody who you have known for maybe a month. You know enough about each other, but you're ready, okay? You're both consensual about this. There is no weirdness. There is no fear going into this. You both have been upfront. I can tell you that this other person has been upfront with you. I'm not picking up on that they're lying, that there's a girlfriend, that there's a wife, that there's a husband. There's none of that. None of that. And again, anytime that I'm picking up on a particular energy, for instance, when I say I'm seeing a divine feminine energy, that does not mean, gentlemen, that this doesn't apply to you, because you may always have more divine feminine energy. Energy is just that. It does not have a gender, okay? And so my readings are meant to be usually genderless unless I do see a specific person. Now this reading, I actually kind of do. You know, I'm going to be upfront with you. Although I'm picking up on divine feminine energy, I feel like it is more for a woman than anything. But that doesn't mean that that's has to be the case. Keep in mind that tarot is never set in stone. And I could be reading this all wrong. This could be reversed, and it's actually a man that's about to have sex with a woman or have sex with another man. It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is that I am picking up on you are about to have a blast. I feel like I don't know why I keep picking up on vacation energy. It might be something that you're planning. It may not even be that your vacation is in May. It could be in June or July. It's that you are excited about the planning process. You want to have a drink. You want to have fun. I'm seeing you dancing. You don't care. You are, but you're on beat. I'll give you that. And this is all about the duality of life, though. That's what the Lover's card represents. And this is card number 6. Okay. And so I was immediately drawn to give you the affirmation of trust yourself. Okay. Trust yourself. I don't know who needed to hear that. But you need to. You need to understand that. And yes, if something doesn't feel right, you're going to know it. But I am picking up on the energy that this is right for you. Even if it's only right now, it's right for you. And it's not something that you're going to regret. All right? So you're going to you're about to have a great time. Maybe you're about to have a great weekend.
Obrigada, new moons. That means thank you in Portuguese. Always take a second to say thank you to yourself. Anytime that you are journaling, meditating, listening to self-help podcasts like this one, you are setting yourself up for greatness. You deserve to continue to manifest an amazing life. And a lot of people don't like the word manifest, and I couldn't care less because it's a real word. And just like I say, you can manifest good things, you can manifest bad things. So if I were you, I would focus on the good. And listening to this podcast is one of those ways that you're doing that. and it means a lot to me. So muito obrigada for that. I also want to say a very special muito obrigada because at the time that I am recording this outro, a comment that I left for a very popular TikToker, a Mexican TikToker, so that's even better, has gone viral. All I did was just post something funny and it made that comment go viral, and I got quite a bit of love from other practitioners, especially Latina practitioners, and quite a few of you followed me and a few of you even reached out to me. So I did follow the ones who reached out to me back. And I, as I always say, if you follow me and you interact with me, I will interact with you. I will like all your stuff. That's just who I am. It just, that's the whole point of social media, is we're supposed to be having fun. And that's why I enjoy TikTok over all of the other social media platforms. And you can find me on TikTok at Josie the Mustang. I try to put it in the show notes now so that for those of you who maybe skip the outro, and I'm fine with it. I skip a lot of podcast outros, I'm going to be honest with you. But I do include some important stuff in this outro. For instance, if you want to email a question to the show, or you just have suggestions for the Novel Soul section that will be next week as to who I should talk about. And yes, I will actually be discussing Kendrick Lamar. I know he's not Latino, but he is an ally for the Latino community. So, of course, I have to talk about his response to Drake. But that's something I want to talk about next week. Hopefully some more fun things happen. And you can email the show at luanovapodcast@outlook.com. Also, I wanted to mention there's going to be a separate business email that I'm going to be leaving in the show notes. I'm not going to mention it. It's just something that's going to be specifically for people who want to sponsor the show or who want to work with the Luanova brand. And one more thing I do need to mention that I stopped mentioning is when it comes to personal readings, I do personal readings in person, especially for previous clients, but I do not do personal readings online. Okay. And so when I said I didn't do personal readings, I should have been very specific about, yes, I would do them in person, but never online. I shouldn't say never, no time soon online. Okay. And as you all, if you listen to the episode about Santissima, then you understand why that is. And if you want me to go more in depth about it on another episode, I definitely will. Thank you to all of the Latinas who have been so supportive. At, like I said, at the time of this episode, I'm receiving so much love, and even from other Brazilian practitioners, which is amazing. Like I said, Brazil, Mexico, you always have my back. And in the top, when it comes to the top 10 countries that tune in, Mexico and Brazil are right there with the United States. So, and also Colombia. We could be here all day if we don't. And Spain. So shout out to Spain that has entered into the top 6 of the countries that listen to me. So I need to wrap this up. my goodness. I just got home from the gym. I need to take a shower. My brain is tired. My legs are tired. My bunda is exhausted. It means ass in Portuguese, but I need a nap. I need more sparkling water. I am rambling. I know that this weekend, if you are celebrating Cinco de Mayo, I'm not judging if you do. As you know, that it's not celebrated in Mexico. That is a holiday that is celebrated in the United States. Doesn't make you less Mexican. Doesn't make you anti-Mexican if you don't celebrate it. Look up why people do not. And, respect people's beliefs, and let's stop dividing the Latin community, because we're all a part of it and we're all important. This show, Luanova Podcast, is for everybody, but I especially make it for the Latin community, okay? So until next weekend, please be safe out there. Don't drink too much. Ciao.